Today is Terrific Tuesday. Welcome to the 411 Sports World Podcast. I am your host, Mr. 411. Today's show is sponsored by FreeLiquor.com, where you get your liquor for free. And now it's time to introduce the team. The starting lineup for tonight, Lacey Dawson and Zach.
Greetings.
Go Dawgs.
And fans, get ready for a special treat. Tonight, we have a special guest. We're welcoming back the one and only T-Rock.
Hey, folks, proud to be back. Go Bucks, go Pats.
Oh, Lord.
Overachiever.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad the band is together. T-Rock, welcome back to the podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to cover the American Football Conference Eastern Division. We're going to take you on a nice ride tonight. We're going to go from places like upstate New York, Beantown, the city that never sleeps. But first, we are going to head down to South Beach. LeBron James is no longer there. However, the Miami Dolphins are. The Miami Dolphins are. And just to give you all a quick overview of how we're going to work the show, the preview of key players, key additions, key losses, strengths, weaknesses, and we'll also give you our predictions for the 2015 season for the teams that are in the AFC East. So let's get this party started. And Lacey,
yes.
I want you to kick it off for us.
Sure. We're going to start with Miami. And I think the Miami Dolphins are a dangerous team. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. It, you know, it's kind of sneaking up on people how good they are. This is a really good team. They have most of the ingredients that assembled to make a good playoff run. And yes, I did say it, playoff run in Miami Dolphins. I think they are the real deal, and I think that they are going to beat a lot of people that are underestimating them. Of course, they're in a tough division. You know, you've got the Patriots. You know, well, they're in a division where there's a lot of defense that gets played and played well, and Miami, I think, is the best of those. From a defensive standpoint, they really are well rounded. The only slight weakness, I think, in as far as their defense goes, is maybe the secondary. It's not as talented as some other teams in the division. But I mean, they got everything they need to get the job done. You know, of course, it's always important about your schedule. You know, first of all, they're playing the AFC East, so those are going to always be hard fought games, no matter who they're playing in their own division. But then you got the NFC East, and I think they're going to do some feasting. There's some teams in that in the NFC East that are just pretenders, and I think Miami is going to lock them down on that defense, and they've got just enough offense to get the job done. The same goes for even more so for the AFC South. There's a lot of garbage over there. You know, they're going to come out of that with a winning record. They're going to come out of the NFC East no worse than 2-2, and in their own division, they're probably going to beat the Jets a couple of times. But you know, just to be fair, I mean, everybody in the division, you know, they all play each other really tough and really well. So there's no gimmies in this bunch. But Miami, I believe has all the pieces to start their playoff run, and I think if they continue to add to it, Ryan Tannehill, it has been surprising, and he's no longer going to surprise people. But now they've added some good weapons for him, Although he did lose Mike Wallace, and that is a blow. But they've added some weapons that are going to get them, I believe, going to get them to the next level. Even the old man, Greg Jennings, is going to be there, and you need that kind of stability. I really like what I see in Miami, and I'm giving them, I'm going to firmly write down in ink 9-7, and maybe, you know, on a really good day, 10-6 is very achievable. So that's my take on Miami.
Okay. Well, it seems like you're impressed with what they have on defense and veteran signees on the offensive side of the ball. So 9-7, that's pretty optimistic for Miami. I like that. T-Rock?
Well, I think Ms. Lacey made a lot of good points about the improvement that Miami's made over the past couple of years. This offseason, especially with the addition of Sue, that's going to really solidify their defense. And AFC East is a pretty tough conference. Of course, you got the championship Patriots and Brady and his team coming back. Buffalo's a much improved team. Miami really showed some flashes last year. And like I said, I think the additions that they made on defense is going to make them an even better team this year, more competitive. Of course, you know, the Jets, they always play good defense. Got Revis going back to them to help solidify that defense. I think Cromartie went back also. So,
yes.
They're going to – Miami's I'll probably put my friends this upcoming season, and I think 9-7 is very achievable, and I'm thinking probably they'll finish maybe 10-6 right behind the Patriots. But I like the moves that they made this offseason, and I think they're gonna, you know, have a pretty good season.
Okay, so you and Lacey have the Dolphins at 9-7, second place finishes. And, Lacey, do you have them in second place as well?
We haven't gotten to that part yet.
Okay.
I guess I kind of jumped
ahead. Please remind me.
Well, no, I'm saying that because I have some things to say for my predictions about some perennial favorites that I think probably won't be welcome, but it's just the way I feel. So, you know, second place maybe.
Wow.
But second to who? Yeah.
Wow. That's in radio land, that's called a tease. Great job, Lacey. Zach.
Well, what I always like to look at when I look at teams is we need to look at the coach quarterback combination. And Coach Philbin and Ryan Tannehill don't get me too excited because right now, they're kind of Jags, just another guy. Tannehill has potential, but he's been having potential for, I guess, technically some years. So if he makes a jump, that can take Miami to another level, but I don't expect it. I expect him to play pretty consistently with where he's been. And then even when we look at some of their weapons on offense, so even if he was going to make a jump, his weapons just aren't that great to help him out. Running back game, Lamar Miller has been, once again, a Jag. In fact, if you look at Miami's offense, they got a lot of Jags. They went out and they got a guy, Greg Jennings, who is a pretty good receiver. Uh-huh. If we put him in a way back machine, and it was 4 years ago. But we can't do that. So he's a guy that's out there. Kenny Stills hasn't proven much at the NFL level yet. They did get Cameron, tight end out of Cleveland, who was a Pro Bowler a couple years ago. That is a nice pickup, but I expect them to be pretty average on offense. So if I'm going to go with their weakness or their shortcoming, I got to go with Tannehill being that because he just hasn't proven to be the guy. But on a positive for them, because they went out and they paid big money for the best defensive player in football, which would be Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
And he is going to change the way they play football on that side of the ball. because he plays to the echo of the whistle. He is going to intimidate quarterbacks in that league, i.e. a guy up in New England. And it's going to make a big difference. And like, not even being funny, Ndamukong Suh is the type of guy that you really don't want to play because he just comes with a nasty attitude and he has physical ability. He's going to free things up for Cameron Rake, so he should be able to get more pass rushes or get a free run to the quarterback more often. And even Vernon on the other side should be able to do some things. Secondary isn't great. Grimes is he's kind of getting up there. Doesn't necessarily play at the same level that he used to. And Delmas is, depending on what day it is, he's good, maybe not so good. But I think Sue and Wake, what they're going to do up front is going to make a big difference for the team. And with that said, I still got them kissing their sister, and they're going to go 8-8. They have a schedule that's okay. They, if Tannehill plays like he belongs in the NFL as a upper-tier quarterback, they could at least win 10 or 11 games. But I just haven't seen anything from Tannehill to make me think that he's going to be consistent. I mean, people get on Joe Flacco, but Tannehill is even close to being a Joe Flacco. So I got him at 8-8, Mr. 4-1.
Well, Mr. Zach, if you don't mind, let me interchange here for a second. I kind of differ on your opinion for Tannehill. I was looking over the stats, and, actually, his quarterback rating last year, I think he finished about 13th in the league. As a matter of fact, he finished ahead of Joe Flacco. He finished ahead of Eli Manning, which really ain't saying too much.
No.
But especially in the second half of the season, he really, to me, showed some improvement. And I think if he's able to pick up where he left off last year, and I'm expecting him to do that, and they got a pretty good running game to go along with him, I think they're going to, pretty much finish. But, that's your opinion. 8-8, I just don't really see that, especially being, being a little bit more familiar with the AFC East like I am. I expect them to finish no worse than 9-7, probably around the 10-6 range.
Well, what did they finish last year?
I think it was about 9-7, maybe.
Were they? Are you sure about that?
I'm not sure about that.
Right. I'll have to look.
I mean, you're familiar with the AFC East, like you just said, so I figured you would know off the top of your head.
Well, they finished that. Yeah, I think they finished second in the division.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'm here at my. Let me pull them up real quick and see if I can.
Well, while he's pulling that up, Mr. 411, if you want, you can go ahead and give us your analysis, and he can get back with us on that.
Yeah.
Well, what I'll do, since T-Rock, for this one time, an opportunity to go ahead and.
You give him all kind of allowances when he comes on the show. let's just call it T-Rock and Friends, like Spider-Man or something.
Well,
rolling out that red carpet.
Yeah, I feel the animosity, Zach.
I'm just saying. We give them all kind of allowance. So go ahead, T-Rock. Go ahead, Mr. 411. You got it.
Oh, boy.
By the way, they finished 8-8.
Did they? They kissed their sister last year, right? I already knew that.
I picked them to look better than that this year, though.
Okay. But based off of history, me saying they're going to be 8-8, and based off of what I see from Tannehill, I think what I said, no reason to doubt it, even though you can.
All
right. But the good thing about this, Mr. 41, good thing about this, T-Rock, is it'll be recorded, and we get to come back because somebody picked the Ravens to go 12-4.
Crazy.
And finish number 2 in the AFC, and we're going to come back and check that next year to see how that works out, or at the end of this year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's gutsy.
Yeah, that was a gutsy pick by
or analysis.
Wow.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry, Mr. 411, since we're giving allowances. How many playoff games has Tannehill won in his NFL career, T-Rock?
Well, how long has he been starting in his NFL career?
I didn't ask how many has he won.
But, you know, that plays, you know, that's kind of important.
But
you know, if he hasn't been starting but 2 or 3 years, you know, you might not really expect it. But he's getting close. But he hasn't won.
I thought he started his rookie year. I thought he started his rookie year when he came in.
So how long has he been in the league? This is his third year coming up?
At least three. He's been in at least three.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not trying to anoint him a champion yet. But what I'm saying is I just like what I saw towards the second half of the season last year coming into this season. And with the offseason improvements that the team has made, I definitely see them winning at least one more game, and if not two. And that, if they did, that would lead them to a 10-6 record.
Okay. I mean, just you put them over. You brought up Eli and Flacco, guys that have won Super Bowls and performed well in the playoffs. And
guys that have been playing about 12 years in the league.
Oh, that's true. But Flacco made the playoffs his first year in Baltimore. So I'm just.
Right.
I just.
But we know why. It wasn't because of Flacco. It was mainly because of his defense, what he had around him.
The funny thing is, we can always put that argument on anybody. We can always say that player X won because of this, and player B or Y didn't win because of this reason. But my bad, Mr. 411. I got you.
All right, back to your corners, gentlemen. Back to your corners. The Miami Dolphins, you guys have basically covered all the key points there. Only thing, I'll throw in one or two things. The signing of Ndamukong Suh, I hope that doesn't put them in the soup. They're spending spending $114 million on one player. Miami, you know, last year they racked up 39 sacks. And 30 of those were by the defensive line. So if 30 out of 39 sacks were from the D-line last year, okay, and then you add Sue, it sounds like a great investment. We just have to see how that turns out long-term for the Dolphins. They were ranked 23rd in defense against the run. So one thing the Dolphins will be able to do is stymie the run. And that should keep them in a lot of games. And so we will find out about Tannehill this year, and we'll find out if they make the playoffs. But based on the records here, with 9-7, 9-7, 8-8, I have the Dolphins at 9-7 as well, and I think that's going to just keep them right on the outer end of the playoffs. So they won't make the playoffs, but 9-7 is a respectable record for 2015. On to the city that never sleeps, the J-E-T-S, Jet.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey,
yes.
This is your squad.
They are.
But no partiality.
No, none whatsoever. I am tough but fair.
In the words of IK, I want you to knock this one out for us.
Well, I'll really, you had to go there, huh? Well, I'm going to start with, the elephant in the room. He's out for 6 to 10 weeks or whatever it is. I believe he's out for this season. And so now we're stuck with Ryan Fitzpatrick. In my opinion, Ryan Fitzpatrick is actually an upgrade from Geno Smith. So I feel like the Jets' stock went up when Geno got his jaw broken. That guy did us a favor. That is the way I feel about it. Now, of course, as a human being and a mom, I feel bad for the boy getting his mouth broke, but he needs to pay his debts. Then that won't happen. But as far as the Jets go, I think Fitzpatrick is an upgrade, and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm a Jets fan. You know, we have a good squad on paper. We have a lot of the parts. We have a lot of things that are going right. We have an awesome defense. Our defense is tough and can hang with anybody. With Revis and Cromartie back, mm-hmm. our secondary is second to none. We picked up Ridley and Zach Stacy. Now, granted, these are people who really didn't make the cut at their own, you know, in their previous positions. But you know, there's new life here. You know, these are good running backs. They're decent. You know, we got Chris Ivory, who I think is going to emerge from that pile. But you know, they've got a lot of good things going on. We got on the receiving side. We got Brandon Marshall, and Eric Decker and Jerome Curley. You know, I mean, we have on paper the kind of things that lead to a winning season. Unfortunately, we have some things that are not really in our favor. We have a new head coach, which is always an adjustment period. No matter who they are, how good they are, that's always an adjustment, and it's usually an adjustment downward. But fortunately, the Jets were so bad that you know, it won't take a lot to be an improvement. The Jets, they're my team, and I'm going to be as optimistic as I can about their chances. Like I said, their defense, their secondary, their receivers, they've got everything but that quarterback to pull it together. We get that together. Fitzpatrick gets some of that together. We can be, you know, a team that approaches 500. We can approach it.
Okay.
I think we can get near it.
Is it going to be within finger reach or arm's reach? Or?
Like arm than finger, and I say that because, you know, they Jets have a great defense, but they're in a tough division where everybody's defense is good, and the Jets have not had a prolific offense. They just haven't. That hasn't happened before. Fitzpatrick has not been the main guy, so he's going to have the adjustments to make just to get to where he can start the season. So, you know, he's never been a really big time quarterback. So, you know, we have some constraints there. We have so many new people that are added to the squad that it takes time for that to gel. And I feel that they're going to lose some games just because they're not used to playing together. Just because, you know, things have to mesh, and it's going to take time to do that. I think things will probably start meshing around week 4, week 5, and they'll do well at that point. But you know, it's going to be rough going in the beginning. I'm projecting my Jets to be, you know, I'm being extremely optimistic here, and I'm going to say 7-9.
7-9.
That's really the best case scenario. I can't see them going 8-8. They're playing too many teams that have good offenses. Even though they have a good defense and they have a great secondary, you know, that's not going to stop the Cowboys. It's not going to stop the Giants. It's not going to stop Indy. It's not going to stop, you know, a couple of teams in their own division, you know. So I just think they get outscored because they just haven't had time to gel yet. But they're on the right track.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick is not the answer, but he gets us to the next level. You know, he gets us through this rough patch better than Geno would have.
Well, 7-9, I think the Jets 7-9 that's a pretty remarkable record for
it's probably not going to happen.
You know, for what they're going to have bringing. For what they're going to have rolling out there on the field next year. Zach, any thoughts here?
Oh, no.
Well, if we're going to start with strength, well, I guess first I'll give my condolences to Todd Bowles. It's very unfortunate that his first coaching job has to be the Jets, because they got a lot of things that need to be fixed. And I don't know if 3 or 4 years from now he'll be in position to be there to fix them, because the next guy may be there. But with that said, the defense for the Jets should be outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they lost Sheldon Richardson for the first 4 games, and he may end up being gone for a few more. But a great stroke of luck was Leonard Williams out of USC fell to them. I want to say the number six pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually believe while it's too much to expect him to come in and play like Sheldon Richardson, but he should definitely come in and play like a solid defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that Richardson will be gone for the whole season. I think worst case he might get 8 games. I guess you could say, I guess maybe you could bump that to 10. But he'll be back at some point.
And why is he getting games? Why is he missing games?
Well, the first part is he violated the NFL substance abuse policy. So that was 4 games. And then, as we covered on a show earlier, he decided he wanted to go out and joyride in his vehicle, which was cool, but he was taking it at speeds of 140 miles through various neighborhoods, got stopped by the police, had marijuana in the vehicle with him, had a 12-year-old child in the back, and had a weapon that he was reaching for when the police officer came to the vehicle. So he kind of got like the daily double. He did his little boots, he would say, he did it big. So,
wow.
But on the positive for him, he hasn't really been charged yet with anything too serious. So the NFL, as I said, might take a break on him. But if we go further than that, linebacking core is going to be solid, led by and the secondary should honestly be phenomenal. There are three defensive backs, or I should say the three corners, Revis, Cromartie, and then a Buster Screen that they got from Cleveland. They should be able to hold their own with anybody that they line up with every week. This is going to give the Jets the opportunity to blitz and still hold up on the back end. Add that Calvin Pryor out of Louisville should be better this year, a strong safety. And they still got to kind of figure out the other safety position. But I think it's going to be defensively the Jets should be in most ball games.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go to the weakness, unfortunately. And you can't just roll your defense out there all game. You got to roll an offense out there. And the Jets have some spots on offense they could get better. Their offense is actually not bad. It's a serviceable offense with the defense that they have.
Okay.
They added Brandon Marshall. So now you've got forget his name right now. Wide receiver from Denver.
Decker.
Yes, Decker. There you go. Black and Decker. He was masquerading as a number one, but now he gets to be at a more comfortable position at 2.
Yeah.
Offensive line is solid, led by Mangold and DeBrickishaw Ferguson. So their offensive line will be okay. They got some prospects at tight end. I like Jason Morrow, even though he's not projected to be the starter, but he's got potential as a pass catcher.
Mm-hmm.
The problem for them is I don't think their running game is going to give them what they need to really control the field like they want. Because Fitzpatrick isn't bad. He actually had, a career here in Houston last year and helped them win some games.
Yeah,
so
he did.
The Jets will actually be respectable. And I have them doing just like Miami did, and they're going to kiss their sister and finish 8-8.
Oh,
wow.
Yay.
The big problem for the Jets is not this year. Short term, they're going to be all right. It's the long term. With Geno out, they don't have this was a year they could see if Geno could be a guy for the future. They don't have that now. So they got to find a quarterback. Bryce Petty, people are raving about him, but I don't think that Baylor system is going to translate to the NFL. But I got 8-8. Mr. 411, I'm sure Terrence has an interesting perspective of what the Jets will do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bring it on home, G-Rock.
Not going to really spend a lot of time talking about the Jets. Strength is defense. They brought in a very good coach, the defensive-minded coach. Weakness, quarterback. It's been a weakness for a while. It'll be a weakness again this year. I agree that Fitzpatrick is a small upgrade over Geno Smith, but there's one common denominator with Fitzpatrick, and that is each team that he's gone with or gone to, the head coach has gotten fired the following year.
Oh my God.
Of course, that won't happen with the Jets this year. They're going to give Spurs a little time to turn that franchise around. But I think, and like most people, I think the running game is going to be solid. Defense will definitely be solid. They always are. But the biggest problem and the biggest question mark again this upcoming season will be at the quarterback spot. And, you know, they finished 8-8 last year. I expect them to finish about that. With about that same record again this year. But other than that, until they get the quarterback position resolved or find someone that could be effective and efficient, they're going to always be the middle of the pack type of team in the AFC as well as in the AFC East.
Well, here comes Mr. 411 with the knockout blow. If the Jets had a man named Brady and they had a coach named Belichick, they would be the Patriots. But since they don't, I see them at 6-10, bringing up the rear in the AFC East. Moving on.
Outside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Moving upstate. Let's just head upstate and let's talk about a team. In Buffalo, the Bills, they have a head coach in Rex Ryan, who is the former coach of the New York Jets, and so now he's bringing his philosophy up to the other end of the state. Zach, kick us off with the Jets. Give us some strengths, weaknesses, and your predictions.
Well, the Bills. Mm-hmm. The Bills are going to be similar to the Jets in that they have a strong defense, and that was the case last year. Even though they got rid of Kiko Alonso, I don't see that holding them back. With the Bills, mm-hmm. it's going to start up front with their defensive line. And though he doesn't get a lot of credit, Williams, the former number one draft pick that some people thought should not have gone number one because Reggie Bush should have gone number one, and they're on this podcast with us.
Oh, Mario Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
He's a good defensive end. He makes a lot of things happen, even though you don't really hear about him a lot. Another guy that gets to run free because of the other individuals on that defensive line, Hughes, can pick up sacks because he kind of gets to focus on pass rushing a lot of the time because the defense gets teams in third and long situations. Kyle Williams, solid defensive tackle, kind of lunch pail mentality, shows up to work. And I think the guy that really makes that defensive line go out of University of Alabama, Marcell Dareus. He is he's a man. He demands a double team. He can get pressure from the middle, and it's like trying to move a mountain to run on him or running his gap or in his right there is a boon for them. I'd actually say the rest of the defense that they have, those guys are, for the most part, average to maybe slightly above average guys, but that defensive line really makes things go. Offensively, what the Bills did to kind of upgrade over last year is they went out and got a LeSean McCord from Philadelphia, which, though I'm not high on him because he's kind of sort of a fantasy guy, from the 20 to 20, he should do very well for this team. And then once they get to 15, 10-yard men, they can stick Fred Jackson into the game, and he can carry them home because he's more of the between-the-tackles guy. Matt Castle has had mixed reviews as a quarterback. You know, one season in New England when Brady got hurt, he won 11 games. Then he goes to Kansas City for big money, and he just didn't do so well there.
Mm-hmm.
But the hope is that he'll hand the ball off a lot, and he can just be solid, not mess things up for them. They added Percy Harvin, and they added Charles Clay, two individuals that are there to help out Sammy Watkins. as far as the receiving. And those guys should be decent. Put in Woods out of USC. They're as the number three guy at wide receiver, and they're rolling out some formidable individuals. And they picked up Richie Incognito, who, for all his bad attitudes and everything, actually is a pretty good NFL lineman. Cordy Glenn, I should say, out of the University of Georgia, very solid tackle. So these guys are actually, I think, going to do a lot better than people are giving them credit for. And if you look at their schedule, they get some favorable games. So they get Indianapolis at home versus having to go there, which is good for them. They do got to go to Kansas City. That's not a good thing. But they get to go to Washington, which, if you were going to go somewhere in the NFC, going to Washington isn't necessarily a bad thing to do right now. So their schedule is favorable. I have Buffalo going 10-6.
10-6. That's an impressive record for the Bills. And you're saying that scheduling will help with that, along with tough defense and running. T-Rock, what are your thoughts on the Bills?
Well, for the most part, pretty similar to Zach. Very solid defense. They finished
on fourth last year. I need to change my pick.
Very solid defense. They finished up around fourth last year, I think, in the league. But then on the offensive side of the ball, they're a little better than the Jets. Not a whole lot better, but they are better. I like Castle better than I like Geno Smith or Fitzpatrick. They got more weapons on the offensive side of the ball with the addition of McCoy, and then of course you got Watkins. So they got a few weapons over there, and they play good defense. But again, if they had a better quarterback or better quarterback play,
right?
And I think they probably would be running second to the Patriots in that division. But as it is right now, I think they're a shade ahead of the Jets, and I think they will probably finish, I would say, right at 9-7, right below the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, 9-7. 9-7? Okay. Lacey?
Talking about the Buffalo Bills, I think we all pretty much agree about the strengths and weaknesses of this team. I feel that their quarterback situation is also going to be their Achilles heel. They've got some other things that are going well. Their running game should be pretty good. Their receiving core is pretty good, but you know who's getting the ball to them. You know, T-Rock mentioned Castle. But you know, you got E.J. Manuel there. You know, are they going to try to work him in? You got somebody called Tyrod Taylor. They haven't made a decision about that yet. That's not a good thing at this point. You know, we're just a few weeks from the beginning of the season, and you know, there's nobody that's been, has Castle been declared the starter? I don't think so.
No, not yet. Actually, Taylor.
He started the next season of the game.
Yeah, he looked pretty good versus Carolina over the weekend.
Yeah, well, yeah, he started. So yeah, he's that position is still, you know, anybody, you know, kind of up for grabs, and that makes for instability in the team, and it, you know, it just makes it less cohesive unit when you don't have that leadership at the top. You know, I know, as a Jets fan, I'm familiar with Rex Ryan, and you know, I think he's going to do a decent job with them. I see Buffalo going about 8-8. I think maybe they'll be slightly better than the Jets, but not much better. You know, when you have a new coach and you have all these new players, you know, you're going to have an adjustment period, and you know, just remains to be seen how long that's going to take. But, you know, there's not a lot to say about them. I see 8-8 for them, so.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and give you the record now that I have for Buffalo, which is 7-9. I'm not buying the hype. I understand, you know, people still live in the past. They think that, you know, Buffalo went to 4 straight Super Bowls, you know, 4 years ago, which is definitely not the case. And though they have a tough defense, and that is their strength, Rex is definitely in effect with his defense. They led the NFL in sacks last year. Also, they were just outside the top 10 against the run. So defensively, they have a combination there. I mean, they have four pass rushers that can, you know, hey, they all can probably get 10 sacks this season. And, you know, also being tough against the run, that's a great combination. They'll be in game. I'm not saying Buffalo won't be competitive, but, you know, the quarterback situation is shaky at best. You made a great point about, you know, leadership and just having uncertainty at that position. And I think that's the running theme, you know, in the AFC East outside of Beantown, you know. And, you know, Tannehill, he's locked in, but still he's not proven enough for me. But and another weakness that I do have with the Bills, McCoy. I just don't see him making it through the first, you know, 3 to 4 weeks of the season. And then who's behind him, who knows. So I'm just going to stick with my prediction of 7-9 with the Bills. And we can move on to Beantown.
The New main England, event.
Yes, the New England Patriots.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This team is close to someone's heart. This team is very close to T-Rock. But unfortunately, T-Rock, you're going to have to wait a moment here. We're going to let Zach kick things off with the Patriots.
Oh, wow. Really?
Oh, I think we should let our guests go first.
Well.
Yeah, I agree with Ms. Lacey.
Yes,
yeah,
so let him sing those praises.
No, we let the guests go last.
Sally. Oh,
okay. He can expound and do all the whatever he's going to
okay.
do.
Okay, well, we can sandwich him in between us then.
Yeah, we're gonna let Zach kick this one off because according to the producers, he really was adamant about kicking things off with the Patriots. There's some information that he would like to give to the audience. So, Zach, have the floor.
Actually, I don't have much information to give to the audience. I understand that this show has been set up so that T-Rock can just gloat about his Patriots. And at this point, I just want to refer to a clip from a previous show about how things went with Mr. T-Rock on the show. So if y'all just hold for a second, I'm
what the? Hello?
Now, if y'all were able to hear that clip, that was...
We were not.
You were not?
No.
It wasn't clear.
I tried to get it loud. I'll have to work with that with the audio.
It came across as gibberish. Was that your point?
It was gibberish, but it was a clip of T-Rock and Mr. 411 kind of ganging up on me. And you were in there, too, Miss Lacey, when we were talking about the University of Georgia. And y'all were just beating down the University of Georgia, hyping it up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I limit my time so T-Rock can talk about his Patriots. And I'll just say that the Patriots lost most of their secondary. Their linebackers aren't necessarily that great, and even the defensive line,
wow,
isn't something that you should be amazed about. Running backs are, I'd even say the wide receivers are, Gronk is what really makes the offense go. Offensive line are like, two. And with all of that said, as I started at the beginning of the show, coach quarterback combination is what puts you over the top. And as much as I'd like to say something negative about those guys, Belichick and Brady are two of the best in the game. Belichick is probably the best coach ever, and Brady definitely has the outside shot of being one of the best QBs of all time. So they're going to go 10-6 and win the division.
Wow. 10-6.
And win the division.
Wow.
So they're going to be tied with Buffalo at 10-6 and win the division?
They'll have a 5-1 division record. Buffalo will be 3-3 in the division, so they get the top record.
Nice stat, Zach. Wow. Nice stat.
Wow.
I could break down the schedule and tell you why, but I just want you to have time to go over to T-Rock. So I'm done.
Wow.
Lacey?
What was that?
Lacey or T-Rock? Who is it?
Oh, no. Let's by all means, let T-Rock have the floor. I'm a Jets fan. I'm probably not going to have much of anything good to say.
Uh-oh. Go to work.
Well, look. You know, Zach, again, like the last call that I was on with you, sometimes you just got to, put your personal feelings aside.
Really?
You know, you're probably been watching the Patriots win a long time. And you may have some bad feelings about them. But anyway, moving on. they did take some losses with by losing Revis and Brandon Browner. But, again, he's talking about Bill Belichick, probably the greatest defensive mind in the game. Over the past several years since he's been there, players come in, players go, and he's always found a way to win and to make his system work. And I think the same thing will happen this year on the defensive side of the ball. We lost to Rod Mayo last year, early in the season, who was one of the best linebackers in the AFC, I think, before he got injured, and he'll be back with us this year. Hightower started to come on last year. We got a pretty solid defensive line, especially with Chandler Jones. I think he got injured towards the late part of last year, but he's a real good pass rusher. So I think the defense is going to be okay. I think they'll change up the scheme. They won't run as much man this year. They'll go more to a zone. But again, I think with Bill Belichick and his staff calling the plays, I think they'll be effective and they'll do enough to win. And of course, when you go to the other side of the ball, you're talking about Mr. Brady, if not the best quarterback to play the game, he's right there near the top. And, of course, he'll be coming back. And then with all this, I think this Deflategate mess that's been happening, that's just going to be more motivation. Like waking up a sleeping giant. We know the last time they went through a situation like this, they ended the season undefeated. And, had it not been for that circus catch, that the
New York Giant
receiver made off his head, that they would have went undefeated that year, but that's
well,
the past.
Had it not been for Seattle's ridiculous call, Pete Carroll's call at the end of that game, then Seattle would have won this Super Bowl. So we can't pick on those kind of plays. Let's not do that.
I wouldn't blame the play call. I'd just say that was a great play by the defensive back to intercept the ball.
A great play by the New York Giants. Thank you.
Well, like I said, I gave him credit. But it's not a play.
Not really. I didn't hear that part.
It's probably a play that you won't see another receiver make that play in another 20 years.
Probably not. That's what makes it more spectacular.
Right. They've been to six Super Bowls. He's won four. He's lost two on, two that could have went their way also, but they did. So,
right.
But again, this year I think they'll be good again this year. They'll be the class of the AFC East. I think they'll probably have the best record in the AFC. And they'll probably finish 12-4, possibly 13-3.
Wow.
Yep.
12.
And I could go on some more talk about it, but I'll go ahead and close with that thought.
Lacey?
Yeah. Well, you know, I respectfully will disagree with T-Rock. And not because of any kind of sour grapes as a Jets fan. There's none of that going on here.
Oh, no.
Let's just make sure that we establish that right off the bat.
Right.
You
right,
know, because I'm just looking at a team that and I understand that the great Tom Terrific, you know, he does find a way to win when he's on the field. But there's going to be some games, at least at this point, there are projected to be some games that he's not going to be in. And, you know, who's that back? Jim, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Jimmy Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
That sound about right?
Yeah, Garoppolo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be, you know, stepping into those shoes. And, you know, it remains to be seen how that'll go. But I'm gonna consider, you know, not well is my projection. That doesn't go very well. And you know, New England, for all of the Deflategate and all of that that's been going on, they've very quietly been, you know, not really doing a good job in the off season. I think they lost some, you know, they made a Super Bowl run last year. I mean, you know, that's they won. You know, so when you do that, you have to got to look at the pieces of, you know, that went into that Super Bowl victory, and when you look at what they've done, you know, when I'm looking at what they've done, I see that they've taken away some really key elements in my, you know they had a running game last year, which is something that New England hasn't traditionally had a whole lot of, but they managed to get the tandem of, I think it was Shane Vereen and Stephon Ridley, whatever his name is. You know, they got rid of both of them.
Yeah.
They, you know, there's no secret that Darrell Revis is gone. You know, there's some things that go into, you know, into winning all those games, that some very key pieces. And what they have left, they have LeGarrette Blount. You know, he's just not impressive. They did have Jonas Gray, who had that one spectacular game, and then really wasn't heard from after that. Not saying that he can't, you know, get some of the job done. They just didn't use him that way.
When you say LeGarrette Blount's not impressive, I mean, what is your impression of impressive?
What is my impression of impressive? LeGarrette Blount just doesn't qualify. That's my opinion. I've seen him. He hasn't done a whole lot.
That's backed also though.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, honestly.
Did you see him in the playoffs last year?
What's that?
Did you watch him in the playoffs last year? On the
is Joe Flacco impressive there, Mr. T-Rock? Because he's done quite well in the playoffs.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, if you look at the final four or five games last year that they won,
mm-hmm.
I was just asking, did you watch the performances of Mr. Blount?
To be honest with you, I didn't watch a whole lot of. I'm not a Patriots fan, obviously, and so I don't pay a whole lot of attention to what they're doing. If you know, I'm a fantasy person. And Zach will tell you.
Right.
I'm really into the fantasy.
I watched there, Mr. T-Rock. But go ahead, Lacey.
Oh no, I'm just saying I don't analyze the game that way. I love the teams that I love, and I watch them religiously. And New England's not one of them, and so I don't look at them that way. And when it comes to the individual players, you know, I from a fantasy standpoint, just because he's not a fantasy stud does not mean that he's not a great player. But he doesn't excite me personally. I don't feel like. A running game that has LeGarrette Blount at the forefront of it is really going to be successful in the division that the Patriots are in. They're going up against the Jets, and even though, you know, they may find other ways to win, I believe LeGarrette Blount gets stuffed by everybody in this division. you know, you're going to get a double dose of that. I just don't feel like he's the guy, you know. But you know, clearly Belichick does. So who am I to argue with that? I'm just saying that when I look at their running game, and then when I look at the receivers that they have, Edelman and Brandon LaFell and Danny Amendola, you know, these things, these pieces can, you know, none of those are outstanding. Of course, Brady himself is outstanding. Gronkowski, of course, is in a class by himself. However, you know, everybody's had a chance to get a good look at all of this. You know, I don't feel like the Patriots have done anything to – I feel like they've taken several steps back without really adding anything exciting, you know, that I can see. Not saying that you know, they can't get some of this done. I just feel like, you know, I don't feel like this is a team that's about to make a stab at you know, back-to-back Super Bowls. What I'm looking at doesn't feel like 12-4 or 13-3. When I look at the division that they're in and the people that they're going to have to go up against, and to be fair, if you factor out Tom Brady for 4 weeks, or one of those weeks, of course, is their bye, so that really doesn't count. But you know, they get very beatable when you go inside these numbers. Their secondary is basically non-existent. You know, New England has gotten away in the last year or two from being that kind of scoring machine. You know, they're still able to do it at times, but they've gotten away from it. And when you can't stop the other team, you are now compelled to go out here and get this done. And getting you know, those kind of numbers out of Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola, even with Gronkowski out there, is a tall order when you don't have, you know, you just don't have the kind of the running game that you need to have to make that kind of firepower possible. I see New England, you know, I don't see New England winning that division, honestly.
Wow.
I see Miami winning it. And they actually may be 9-7 along with them. But I see Miami winning the division because I think they're going to have a better record in their division.
Wow.
So, bam, I said it.
Hey, look, let's save this one for the tape because that goes way past
definitely.
My 12-4 for the Ravens.
Wow.
This is.
I'm just saying.
Hey, way to put yourself out there, Lacey.
Yes.
I mean, you made mention of like Edelman. This guy, I think, was maybe what, second or third last year in the league with receptions, and you just toss him aside like he's just a guy out there running routes.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah, you said you got Edelman. He ain't. He's like second or third in the league with receptions last year. In the second half of the season last year, he was probably one of the hottest receivers in the league as far as making plays and catching. And, of course, Gronkowski, he's probably the best tight end in the league. You got the best quarterback, the best big game quarterback in the league. We lost Revis. Browner was missing for the first four games of the season last year. So he didn't really start playing well until halfway through the season. The same guys we had last year in the secondary, we got them back this year, with the exception of Revis. So, like I said, I think there will be a slight drop-off on the defense in the secondary. But, again, last year we ran more man. This year we'll run more zone. And I think they'll be just as effective as they were last year.
And what was your regular season record last year? I know you know.
12-4.
12-4, okay.
Yeah, 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, offense won't skip a beat. And this will be a second year that LaFell will be, you know, be in the offense. Hopefully Amendola will be healthy. Of course, you got Edelman, Gronkowski. So they'll be just as effective on the offense as they've been in the past. I don't think they'll really lose a beat there. But again, that's your opinion. We got the show's on record. So, you know, we'll have another show where we'll revisit this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The 411 podcasts are now worldwide. And Lacey, Twitter is going, is off the hook right about now. And
I'm just saying.
That was something else. I just finished picking myself up off the floor and made it back into my seat so that I could just, you know, give a couple points here and there on the Patriots. Wow. Okay. Patriots' strength is obvious. Head coach, quarterback. T-Rock also mentioned tight end. So, offensively, the Patriots are going to do what they do. You know, Tom Brady, 4 Super Bowl wins and 6 appearances. 6 out of the last 8 years, he's had a quarterback rating of 95 or higher.
Mm-hmm.
Since the ACL injury in 2008, he started in all 96 regular season games. And the Patriots have missed the playoffs 1 time in the past 14 years. And I just say all that to just go to this point. This division where we have teams like the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins where we talk about, yeah, they're good here, they're solid here. However, you know, quarterback position or you know, instability here or there. The Patriots have stability, and they also have dominance over the division. This division has been, you know, to put it nicely, it's stuck for a long time. And, you know, New England is no fault of theirs, but they've taken advantage of the situation. I don't see any other reason why the Patriots shouldn't finish at least 11-5 and win this division. And the reason why I have them at 11-5 is, you know, we haven't really covered this yet, but the Deflategate issue. If Tom Brady is suspended for 4 games, I see the Patriots at least winning 2 of those. Now, if he's able to get out of this situation and not miss any games, you know, we can look at a 12-4 record. So that's where I have the Patriots. This has been an interesting discussion of this division, and you know, I hope everyone has enjoyed that. Today in sports history. Are you ready?
Yes, we're ready. What you got?
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Are we ready?
Sure.
And I'm still aching here from that fall I had. But on this day in sports history. Hey. Don't do that. But on this day in sports history, 1987, Earl Campbell retired from the NFL. The Hall of Fame running back, Earl Campbell.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
nothing but respect for him.
Back. Yeah. Much respect for a big Earl.
Nothing but also very big.
He was powerful, wasn't he?
Yeah, those thighs. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Are you a thigh woman?
It's just Earl Campbell.
You say that like those thighs.
I mean, they were tree trunks. He was something else.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a thigh little girl back then. I don't know. I just remember it was like, it looks freakish. You know, his thighs were so big.
Yeah, I heard that just the other day when I was working on my squats. And,
you heard it about Earl Campbell?
About
I didn't realize he was that relevant still. I know him. Yeah. Well, nobody said it about you.
Yeah, after my 21st squat, you know, it was like, wow, those thighs. But
that must have been the voices in your head.
Dude, you can do 21 squats if you do a squat every day of the year.
Well, I can do 21 or 22.
Wow.
Yeah. Jim Kelly on this day. He signed the NFL contract with the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
And guess how much it was over the course of a 5-year contract?
$20 million?
I'm gonna go no. I'm gonna go 6.5 million.
What year was it?
Well,
1986.
Oh.
I'm gonna go 3.5. Well, it was actually a little bit better, but it was a $75 million contract over 5 years.
So $15 million.
You said 75 million.
Yeah,
over
that's
the course
of 5 years. Well,
that's almost 30 years ago.
Well,
hold on. You said what?
$75 million for 5 years.
Nah, and that
Jim
was
Kelly in Buffalo. You sure? Buffalo doesn't have that kind of money.
Are you sure? What, 7.5?
Yeah, 75 million for 5 years.
That's,
I don't believe it.
That's good living.
That was 20 years ago?
That was 30 years ago. Well, it was 29 years ago.
Well, check this out, though. Phillip Rivers just signed was 83?
That can't be right, T.
They
that's
can't.
Like $15 million a year. That's 30 years ago? Nah.
No.
Well, you got to remember now. He played in the USFL, didn't he?
He didn't make that kind of money there either.
Didn't they have a USFL, NFL type of thing going on back then? You had a lot of big dogs getting thrown around.
Is that where Herschel Walker played?
Yeah.
Yes. You know who Herschel Walker is? Good job.
Despite the fact that he went to Georgia.
When Georgia was relevant.
They're still relevant.
I'm not holding that against him.
I mean, you got to look at it like this. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, his contract is what, $114 million?
Yeah, but $75 million, almost 30 years ago.
Half.
That's crazy money.
All right.
That doesn't sound right.
Over 5 years.
Even so.
Yeah, but that's like $15 million a year.
Yeah.
Cat's now making $20 million a year on average. We're talking about 30-year span.
Well, don't kill the messenger.
I'm not killing the
messenger. Why not?
Now, you're my boy, man.
I appreciate that.
Yes, you are his boy, as we say.
All I like preferential treatment. I feel like a stepchild,
Zach. Real sports talk.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But fans, you can check it out. And maybe we'll have another segment, and we'll cover the USFL versus the NFL. Era. There was some great players that came out of that league, like Herschel Walker, who was mentioned earlier here, and Steve Young.
Mm-hmm.
Was Steve Young another player that came from the United States Football League? Jim Kelly. So
Steve Young?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it?
Young played there first.
Before my time.
Maybe a couple days.
Uh-huh. Before my time paying attention to any of that crap. I didn't used to care. But, So, T-Rock, I hope there's no hard feelings. I just wrote it all down, and when I was writing it down, I was coming up with numbers, you know.
Yeah,
I'm pretty good at math. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but maybe your references are off or something. I don't know.
They could be. You know, I hope not. It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. If they go down, I'll be cheering them on. let them fail. But you have to think about it like this. No matter who they are, at some point, you know, there's a decline, and I feel like Brady is ripe for a decline. I really do. You know, all of this negativity, it takes a toll. You know, he's got to be getting to the point where he's feeling like, why the hell am I putting myself through this crap? You know, it's like he just won a Super Bowl.
If that was the case, the Patriots would have been done back in 2001.
No, I'm not talking about being done back in 2001 because it is now 2015, and how old is Tom Brady?
37, 38.
I'm just saying, there gets to be a point where it just starts to decline. You know,
right,
and I feel like he's there.
Right, but normally there's signs. You know, you'll see, you know, play starting to drop off and, you know, just not being able to function, and that's just not happening with him yet. I mean, again, he's coming off a 12-4 season, and
right, but that 12-4 season wasn't because he had the best season of his career. You know, it was because they had more of a running game than they normally have. It really made a big difference. It really made a good difference for them. And you know, well, they got a lot of things that went their way. But the division that they're in, the people that are in it, the teams in their division are getting better. That makes it harder to dominate when the other people are getting better. I don't believe that the Patriots got better. I believe that they got a little worse.
Really? Well, like you say, you know, everybody's entitled to an opinion. And
that's right.
You've done your research, and you know, I've done mine, and.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we just have to agree to disagree.
Or did you just put on some rose-colored glasses and call it a day? Because that's what it feels
like. I'll be straight up honest about it. You know, if I felt like, you know, they were getting worse or that they wouldn't be as good this year as they were, then I have no problem admitting it.
Okay.
But I just, like I said, the secondary is the only weakness that I saw, or where they may have a drop-off, but I think they'll just even that by running more zone versus man, and I think offensively they'll be just as effective as they were last year. I just don't really see that big of a. I just don't see much of a drop off from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely can't wait to see the Miami Dolphins play this year.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Mr. 411, but when you say not much of a drop off, does that mean they're going to be back in the Super Bowl this year?
I think that. If they're not back in the Super Bowl, they'll be in the AFC Championship game. Yeah. I really do.
Hey, we're definitely bringing him back for the end of the year review show.
Bring me back. Bring me back, homie.
We're going to bring you back.
Well, T-Rock is going to be back for the college football preview.
Yeah.
Yes, whatever.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I thought we canceled that show.
No. I'm going to be the moderator so y'all can go at it.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there'll be some UGA, UGA versus Ohio State talk going on there.
A little bit.
And the Oklahoma in there.
Oh yeah.
We'll definitely have to bring up
that Oklahoma victory over Alabama 2 years ago that we forgot to bring up in the last.
Ooh.
Talk.
You know what I like about you, T-Rock? I love how you pick and choose Skip Bayless style for when you want to go back in time and when you don't.
Well, you know,
sometimes you say, well, we just talking about last year, and then other times we go back 20 years ago. So that's very good that you can do that.
It's selective, yeah.
Well, you know.
It's not like Marty McFly.
It's just that, you know, the last call we had, and I'm surprised that Ms. Lacey didn't address that with that being her team. But, after we got off the call, I thought about, so wait a minute. He was talking about Oklahoma when the last time they did something in the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12. And I said, no. I said, 2 years ago, Oklahoma put that thing on Bama in the bowl game. I mean, it wasn't even competitive.
You know what I still remember? The SEC setting a record for a conference winning national championships in a row, which would be 7.
Well, you should have been remembering that what the Alabama took that year, that you was emphasizing how bad Oklahoma was.
But I'm not a Bama fan like that. As we will get to the show, Alabama loses a game every year. I've tried to tell Alabama fans this. They lose a game every year, minus what was it, 09 when they beat when they went undefeated and beat Texas. Other than that, they lose a game every year. Every year.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what some of the things you're going to be in store for in the college football preview.
Yes, just a small preview.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be must see or must listen.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you have to be there.
We thank you for tuning in for tonight's show. We'll be covering more divisions. And just stay tuned for more 411 Sports World Podcast. On behalf of the panel, I'm Mr. 411. We thank you. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
Go Bucks. Go Pats.
Go Dogs.
Ciao.